At the University of Miami, Joshua Schriftman's English 332 class is just getting into the swing of things. School bags haven't been scuffed yet. Students still have that beginning of semester excitement. The class is Writing for and About Civic Engagement. It's cross-listed with the Department of Sociology and Criminology. Each student is paired with a student in another writing class at Homestead Correctional Institution. It's a women's prison.
I'm actually a little bit nervous. I don't want to be boring, basically. I want to be able to give them what they're giving me, like a new perspective, kind of.
Sydney is a psychology and film major, criminology minor. We're not using her last name because in order to participate in the exchange, the writers on both sides of the razor wire have to be anonymous. The Department of Corrections and Exchange for Change, the program that runs the letter swap, don't want the inmates and the students to be able to look each other up. That's partly to allay any potential concerns about security. It's also so the UM students aren't biased by whatever crime landed their partners behind bars.
You never hear about what happens in prisons unless it's super terrible, you know? So I've never really, I've only have the perceptions that I have are only, from Orange is the New Black.
She says as a budding prosecutor or FBI criminologist or police officer, she's not sure which one yet, she's interested in talking with someone who's affected by that work. It's not easy to just strike up a conversation with someone in prison.
I've never really been exposed to, a real criminal. I know it kind of sounds like a novelty but it kind of is to me because I'm always so interested in it.
Interested in how people get there and what it's like. In her first letter, Sydney introduces herself. She tells a story of how she got the pen name she uses in her letters, Stephen. It's an inside joke about a time she blurted that out when a hostess in a restaurant asked her what her name was. She writes that she's part of an arts fraternity on campus, shares a quote from one of her favorite bands, tells jokes. Schriftman, Sydney's professor, says a lot of his students, especially the criminology and pre-law students, see the system, police, courts, prison, as the way to weed out dangerous people.
That law and order rhetoric gives the impression that we live in a world where everybody is 100% responsible for where they are in life, that there is no history, that there are no outside factors, that everything is perfectly just and people deserve exactly what they get.
And he makes no bones about using his class to challenge that and any other stereotype that lumps prisoners together as a statistic or caricature of what an inmate actually is. These letters are supposed to put a face on the abstract ideas they're reading about incarceration and the justice system. The UM students' exchange partners at the prison live just 30 miles south of the university, but in a very different world, on the edge of the Everglades. Roughly 650 women live here. The small prison campus is made up of a dozen cinder block buildings connected by pathways. The classroom at Homestead Correctional looks like any public school classroom. Chalkboard, white walls, with a hand-painted, slightly irregular map of the United States on it. And those desks with the chairs attached. About a dozen inmates drag them into a circle to get ready for class. The woman Sydney exchanges letters with wears a prison-issued blue uniform, looks sort of like Scrubs. Train is the pseudonym she chose to use in her letters. We're not using her real name because, again, the students aren't supposed to know each other's real names.
It gives me a purpose. It gives me something to feel like I'm doing something. I'm giving something back, you know. I'm writing and I'm thinking and I'm reading stuff and discussing them with outside people.
In their early letters, Train and Sydney write about their insecurities, what it means to be a strong woman, and some of the challenges communicating with members of their families.
Right away, I relate to that. You know, we learn very young to let ourselves be silenced, to let our voice be silenced. We learn that in the family.
It's interesting because while the letters get really deep about personal stuff they're facing, they have to avoid specifics. Neither Sydney nor Train are supposed to reveal anything that could identify them. Their teachers read the letters to make sure.
Through dehumanization, my own story becomes of little importance as I am reduced to prisoner and deviant.
Living with an anxiety disorder, it takes an extra step of thinking to return to practicality instead of letting my mind jump to its first concoction.
For me, it's not so much no one listens as it is that no one hears. You simply cannot get it until you are either a prisoner or know someone intimately that is.
The two also discuss ideas in the reading material they're both assigned. Plato's Allegory of the Cave, Edwige Danticat's Create Dangerously. Adeline Oka is the writing instructor for Exchange for Change at Homestead Correctional. She says for a lot of her students who haven't been in a classroom in years, they started out a bit rusty.
And as the relationships progress, I noticed that the inside students felt greater confidence to provide input on whatever the exchanges were about.
I feel like things that I have to say might possibly change how they think, how they see prisoners, how they see the justice system, how they see the correctional system. Maybe they're just students now, but they're tomorrow's lawyers and doctors and judges and writers and journalists, and I think that it's important for them to understand.
Train has a life sentence for murder. She's been in prison for 20 years so far. She wants Sydney to understand that she knows she made a mistake. And sure, there are people who absolutely belong in prison, but not everyone, says Train, and not for as long as they're sentenced for. She's frustrated that she and others take classes, they work on themselves, but that doesn't mean they get a second chance.
We can sit around all day long and talk about how the officers treat us and the food is terrible and this and that, and we stand in line, you know, but it's not the big problem. The big problem is that just how many people Florida wants to put in prison.
As of 2015, Florida had the second highest population of incarcerated women in the country. Train feels the exchanges might move someone, even just her partner Sydney, to think about that and maybe do something. Not for her necessarily, but for the next woman who makes a mistake.
September 20th, 2016. Although my voice is barely audible over the din of the machine which keeps me here, I create to make a change in one life at a time. I create and use my voice to be remembered, and also so I won't give up.
As the letters progress, Train opens up about what life in prison is like for her. She writes, I still find it extremely painful to be expected not to have human emotion, to not be able to have physical contact. She writes about how hard it is to accept confinement as someone who liked to take walks in the woods. Almost every inmate said the letters have helped them find or rediscover the power of their voice. Here's Adeline Oka, their teacher, again.
They felt like they were validated in a way that they hadn't felt for a long time, especially if the woman had been in prison for a long time. It restored their faith in humanity. I mean, that's so cliche to say, but it really restored their faith in the ability to have meaningful human connection.
Inmates don't have access to the internet or conversations with strangers. And Oka says this program adds some excitement, something to look forward to in an otherwise isolating place. I'm Wilson Sayre in Miami.